Hello and welcome to OK811's first ever podcast. The purpose of this podcast will be to share information that will help with damage prevention and safe excavation. I'm Stephen Chenold, Education and Marketing Coordinator, and I am joined by MG Govia.
Yes, and I'm the Education and Outreach Coordinator here at OK811. Today's podcast, we're going to be sharing the history of OK811 and then provide an overview of the Oklahoma Underground Facility Damage Prevention Act, the law that established calling before you dig in Oklahoma.
Thanks, MG. Before we get into it, why don't we look at a brief history of OK811? I know we began in 1979, but why don't you go over a little bit more about our history?
Great question, Stephen. A lot of people don't know about the history of OK811. In 1979, OK811 became a nonprofit organization, and it was started by just 37 companies originally. And they helped form the wording for the Oklahoma Underground Facilities Damage Prevention Act. And that act actually became law in 1981 when the governor signed it into effect on April 22nd, 1981. The purpose of OK811 is to notify member companies or owners and operators of underground facilities that digging is going to take place near their facilities. And that way they can go out and mark them. So how is all this done? Well, our company has a board of directors. Those are representatives from our member companies to handle budgeting, what we do on an annual basis. And then we have an operating committee that handles the day-to-day operations of our company. We also work with our member companies and excavators and contractors with volunteers to help promote safe digging in the state. And then we have our workforce of over 60 employees. A majority of those are going to be our contact center staff, the ones who process locate requests as they come in. And then we have corporate staff, that's our management, as well as accounting, IT, education, and outreach. And then we have been voted Oklahoma Top Workplace for the last 5 years. And we recently put in a new office back in May of 2017. The whole reason for us existing, like I said, was because of the Oklahoma Underground Facilities Damage Prevention Act. And that's really divided up into two sections. One is the members or the owners of underground facilities, their responsibility, and that's to participate with the One Call Notification Center, and they have to have on file with us where their assets are located and then what personnel is going to respond to those locate requests. And then the excavators, their responsibility, or anybody who's putting a shovel into the ground's responsibility, is to notify OK811 at least 2 business days prior to any excavation so that member companies can go out and mark those lines or let them know the area is clear or not. Earlier, I mentioned that OK811 began with 37 companies. Today, we have over 1,200 member companies. So that's 1,200 owners and operators of underground facilities that respond to these locate requests. And an average of 6 member companies are going to be on every locate request that we send out. It's pretty remarkable to see the history of what has happened in the last 40 years with OK811. With our company, not only do we provide this notification as a communication point between excavators and our member companies, but we also go out and promote safe digging through our education outreach resources. We have advertising. You may have heard our commercials on Thunder or listened to the radio during a Thunder game or seeing our social media. We do quite a bit to promote our purpose, and that's contacting us before you dig.
Thanks, MG, for going over our history of OK811. Up next, we're going to be going into the details of the law. But before we do, let's take a quick look at some of the education offerings we have here at OK811.
OK811 provides underground facility safety education online and on site. You may request training at our corporate conference room, a dedicated webinar, or on-site training at your location. We will provide OK811 promotional items and resources for those who attend. What we have available for you for free are our webinars. You can schedule and register to attend those by visiting our website under education. You'll be able to see those. Or if you need to have a dedicated time, you can let us know by emailing us at education@oke811.org. and set up a time and topic to be discussed, and we'll work with you to set that up. Also, we have educational workshops. That's where you can come into our conference room or have us come to you on site. If it is on-site, there are some attendance requirements, and we'll be happy to share those with you. Keeping with the free education, you can always do 811 certification individually. On our website, under the education tab, there is 811 certification. You'll just log on and complete that at your own pace. There is a 25-question test at the end to where you can get your certification. If you do need facilitated group 811 certification, we can provide that to you. There is a cost. You can find that information on our website or contact us at education@okie811.org for those details. Just remember that these group facilitated certifications can be done either in our conference room here at our headquarters or on site. And we look forward to hearing from you for these educational offerings.
And we're back. And up next, we're going to be looking at the law. Now, MG, I understand that it was signed in 1981, but can you go into a little bit more detail about what the law actually says?
Yeah, definitely. Before we dive into everything, I do want to remind you that this resource is available for you. If you want to see the actual wording of it all, it is found on our website, okie811.org/the law. Or when you're on our website under the About tab, you'll be able to quickly access it. You can download it as a PDF. You can read over it from the website itself. So nothing I say today should surprise you. It all matches up there, but that's where the resource is available for you. The law, like you mentioned, was signed in 1981. So it's been around for quite a while. And sometimes when a law has been around for a long time, it needs to be updated. Most recently, a couple years ago, there was exemptions removed for municipalities, so they are now required to participate with Oklahoma One Call and the Oklahoma Underground Facilities Damage Prevention Act. And then upcoming, there's going to be some new updates made as well. Effective November 1st of this year, there's going to be a distinction on the date of notification. The way the law is written currently is that you're to give no less than 2 business days notice and no more than 10 business days notice of when the excavation is going to begin. Starting in November of 2019, it's going to still have no less than 2 business days, but it is not going to count the date of notification. So what does this mean to an excavator? If an excavator is calling us on a Monday today, they may be able to begin work on Wednesday following 48 hours. Starting in November, if someone calls on Monday, the earliest they could begin work is 7 a.m. on Thursday morning. A way to remember this is it's not including the date of notification, and your 48 hours is going to begin at 7 a.m. the following day. So Tuesday at 7 a.m., Wednesday, Thursday at 7 a.m. is when your 48 hours would be complete. In addition to the not counting the date of notification, there's also going to be an extension of time for the member company to respond if given that time by the excavator. What that means is if you do call in on Monday, the default would let you begin at 7 a.m. on Thursday. However, if we ask when your start time is going to begin of the project and you let us know that your crew won't be out there till Friday at 9 a.m., You are now legally required to wait until Friday at 9 a.m. before doing any work in that area. So that upcoming legislation, like I said, it's going to begin on November 1st, 2019, and it's pretty big. It's going to require some change in some methods for our excavators who call in their locate requests, and those two things are huge. One, not including the date of notification, given that understanding that the 48 hours is going to begin at 7 a.m. the next following business day. And then giving the member companies until the date start that you give. So the start time of the work to begin. In addition to those two changes, that's going to change up how we process update locate requests. Currently, we ask that you update your locate request every 8th business day until a project is complete. Starting after this law change, we're going to ask that you update it every 7th business day until work is complete. Again, not include the date of notification. Give you those 2 business days for the member companies to locate. So that may adjust your updating schedule as well. I know it's really hard to see all this without a calendar in front of you. So be sure to tune into our webinars as well as just our website in general. We're going to be passing on a lot of information about the law change as we get closer. So big takeaways, not including the date of notification, giving a time to begin for your project, and then not including the date of notification when doing an update, which requires you calling in on the 7th day instead of the 8th day. And again, those all go into effect on November 1st, 2019.
Thanks, MG. I appreciate you letting us know about the upcoming law change. Could you tell us more about what the law actually says and how the process works?
Good question, Stephen. So the law is to be a guideline. And so what it does is breaks down the process. And the process starts with notification to us. So the excavator is going to call, give the proper amount of time before excavations to begin. They're going to contact us. They're going to either go online to our website and put in a locate request. They're going to use their phone for a mobile app and put in a locate request. Or they're going to use their phone and give us a call to speak to a CSR. Once they contact us through one of those three methods, they'll put in that locate request and receive a copy of it. That notification is then going to be sent to the member companies that are in that general area of the project that's going to take place. The member companies then have the 2 business days to respond to that locate request, get that area marked, let the contractor know that they're all clear of that area, or request to be seen on site so that they can help protect those lines during excavation. One thing to keep in mind for the contractor, though, is they do have to allow that full 2 business days time to pass before doing any digging. And then also, as they're discovering the lines that have been marked, that they do have to discover them all within their work area before using any heavy machinery, before really diving into the project, because if a line cannot be discovered that has been marked, a second notice needs to be put in. And the second notice is exactly what it sounds like. It's just a second notice to us to remind the member companies to go back out there and help discover the lines in the area. Couple things to keep in mind is private lines. Private lines are lines that are not owned by a member company or an owner and operator of underground facilities, like a utility company. So your sprinkler lines, your propane lines, any extension of your electric that wasn't put in by your electric company, those are all considered private lines and are not going to be marked through this. So if you know your excavation is going to take place near those lines, you'll need to discover those by yourself or have a third party do that. Also, OK811, our company is not the locating company. The member companies either do that in-house with their own employees, or they might hire out a third party to come and locate their lines for them. Either way, OK111 is just a notification server, the communication bridge between the excavator and the member company.
Thanks, MG. You mentioned there's a couple of ways that people can submit a request. Could you go in a little bit more detail on those?
Yes, Stephen, I'd be happy to tell you about the ticket entry methods that are available. First of all, there is our mobile app or our web ticket. The benefits of those is that it's available 24/7, all year round, and the excavator or contractor is able to view or update locate requests from the last 30 days that they've submitted to us. Also, they'll be able to see the mapping that's available while they're putting in that locate request and be able to pinpoint the location of their dig site. There's no hold times. You put it in to our system. A CSR is going to review that and then submit that to the member companies. If a locate request is complicated, or if it's an emergency request or it needs to be a second or third notice, a demolition notice, damage report tickets, or wildland fires, and I'll discuss the different ticket types here in just a moment, but if it's one of those ticket types, then they'll need to contact us during our office hours. Our office hours are Monday through Friday, 6 to 6, and the only exception to calling us after hours is for emergency locate requests. And an emergency is when a digging is going to take place in less than 48 hours due to an endangerment to life, health, or property.
You mentioned emergency tickets. Could you explain a little bit more about what kind of ticket types there are?
Definitely. And there's plenty of ticket types that can be put in. I do want to go into a little bit more detail about emergency tickets first, and then I'll go into the rest. Emergency locate requests are to be put in only when there's an endangerment to life, health, or property. And the 2 key factors that you need to keep in mind when putting in an emergency locate request is why is it truly an emergency? Is there an endangerment to life or the property? Is someone losing communication for 911 services, or is a house washing away due to a busted pipe, or is something about to catch on fire? Things of that nature. Those are definitely no questions asked an emergency. So you do need to dig within 48 hours. Now that we know that it is justifiably an emergency, when will you begin work? And this question is very important. When an emergency locate request is put in, the member companies that are responding to that are dropping their current rotation of tickets to prioritize that emergency request. When they do that, they're moving to maybe the other side of town or putting their responsibilities on hold while trying to get that located for you. If they show up in 2 hours to have your area marked and your crew doesn't show up till the next morning, you've really inconvenienced that member company, and your two-hour emergency request probably wasn't the only emergency request for that day and really puts the member company in a bind. So I'm going to ask that when putting in an emergency request, you really think about justification. Why is this an emergency, and can it, and is it truly need to be located immediately? And then when will your crew be on site? Member companies may pass on these charges to those excavators and contractors that have put in these emergency requests that cannot be justified for why they're emergency, or are given the inaccurate time of when work is going to begin. So you'll just want to keep those two things in mind. So with that being said, let's dive into the other ticket types. First is the normal or compliant locate request. This is the majority of locate requests. This is when someone calls in, gives the proper amount of notice prior to excavation going to begin, and has the member companies come out and mark their lines. If that project isn't going to be complete within 10 business days, then that ticket needs to be updated. So an update is exactly what it sounds like. It's when a request is put in every 8th or starting in November, every 7th business day until the project is complete, giving the member companies opportunity to come out, refresh their markings before the expiration of your first ticket. Then there's second and third notices. Exactly what they sound like. It's a notice to the member companies when they have not responded to an initial request. If they didn't make it out in the first 48 hours, you can call, let us know. We will notify the member companies that they've missed their time on a ticket, and you can put in that second or third notice. A couple things to keep in mind about second or third notices is that it does need to be put in when there's no communication. If a member company has called and is aware that, hey, we know that your 48 hours is up at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday, but we're not going to be able to get out there till noon, then there's communication and you're not really in need for a second notice. But if you've put in and you're planning on beginning your work at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday after the 48 hours has gone by, then you can put in a second notice, and it's encouraged to put in a second notice to make sure those member companies are aware that they didn't make their time for you. A demolition locate request is a two-part notification. First is to let us know that demolition is going to take place. You're to let us know 7 days prior to the demolition. And this gives all the utility companies an opportunity to disengage from that structure if needed. Then 2 days prior to the demolition, you would give us a call to put in the locate request. And that's for immediate burial of the structure if any excavation is needed. And so you'll always call us twice anytime a demolition takes place. Then there's a non-compliant locate request. This is when a excavator calls and is not giving the 48 hours notice or 2 business days notice, but there is not an endangerment to life, health, or property. Usually these are the non-professional excavators, a homeowner who rented a tool over the weekend and they're calling on a Friday and they can't give 2 business days. Notice, it's just a courtesy notification to the member companies. However, it is not a valid locate request. And so if there are any damages that occur, you may be liable for those damages for not giving the member companies the 2 business days time to locate their utilities in that area. And then there's damage report. Damage report isn't a locate request. It's just a notification that you've discovered some damage. It is not a requirement that it's your damage. If you notice a telephone pole down or a pedestal broken or exposed wires or cables or pipe, give us a call. Let us know the area and what you've discovered, And then we can notify those member companies in that area with that damage report.
Now that we've discussed the law, how it works, and the different ticket types, let's look at what an excavator or contractor's responsibility is prior to submitting a ticket and what they need to do afterwards.
Great question. We've discovered that most damages and injuries are not a result of not calling 811. Most contractors and excavators know to call us before they do their digging, and that's outstanding. And we hope that continues. But for a safe work site, more than just calling us needs to take place. First, they need to plan their work. They need to know where their work is going to take place, provide accurate information as possible, white line the area if they can. White lining is where you take paint or flats, show the locators where the project is going to take place. This is going to help plan the work site out so that damage can be prevented. Couple of things to keep in mind. Every excavating company that's on site needs to have their own locate request. Steven, if you go into plumbing tomorrow and I go into be an electrician tomorrow and we both get hired to work at the same property, you would need a locate request and so would I. You're doing different kind of work than I am. You might be in the backyard, I may be in the front yard. All those things are things to consider when putting in a locate request. Also, if I were to damage something, I'm sure you don't want to pay for it. That's another aspect to keep in mind. So always have a separate locate request for each company that's on site. Now, if you and I both work for the same plumbing company, then one locate request, as long as it covers the entire scope of what we're both doing, is sufficient because it's the same company that's in the area. Also, we'll need to keep a copy of that ticket on site at all times. This is to show the member companies that you have an active locate request. Also, if the Oklahoma Corporation Commission comes by, they're the enforcement agency. So those things may happen, so you'll want to have a copy of the ticket at all times. And then now that you've called in, now that we've waited the 48 hours and we have a copy of the ticket on there, we need to discover the underground facilities. The markings that are going to be put out, they're put out with an approximation of 2 feet either side. So if there is a yellow line going through the yard, we should be able to discover that gas pipeline within 2 feet either side of that marking, digging directly down. If we don't discover that, we need to call in a second notice. We need to notify the gas companies that are on that locate request so that we can get those lines located. Once we've discovered and exposed and protected all the facilities that are within our work site, then can we use our heavy equipment. If any damages does occur, we need to notify the member company or the owner or operator of that facility immediately, and we need to delay any backfilling of the area so that we don't cover up or cause any issues in the future. This goes for any type of utility, not only pipeline and water, but also electric or communications. Even if you're just a nick, it may have problems later if backfilling does occur. So to summarize that, there's four easy steps to have safe excavation. Contacting OK 811 before you dig. You can either call us or go online or use the app. Then you'll need to wait the required time. That's 2 business days prior to any excavation that's going to take place. You'll want to make sure that the member companies have all responded to you. You'll need to respect the marks. Remember to discover, expose, and protect all the facilities in your work area. And then also not to use any heavy equipment within that 2 foot tolerance zone until all the lines have been protected. And that's just one way of digging safely. We know that throughout of our presentations and our education offerings that we promote damage prevention, but ultimately it's an excavator's life that's at risk. And so we're trying to do everything we can to ensure the safety of that worker around those underground facilities. So, Stephen, we're wrapping up our first ever podcast. And at the end of each podcast, I think it's a good idea to kind of go over the information that we shared just to make sure that everybody grasped it. So what I'm going to do is just ask you a couple questions over the information that we covered today. Make sure that you got it and our listeners can play along at home or on the road or at their computer or on a plane or in a tractor. Most likely. A lot of podcasts listen to in the tractor. It should be called Tractor Casts. All right, Steven, let's talk about the things that we covered today. Let's talk about resources, first of all.
Okay.
Where can our listeners find the information regarding the law?
The law? On our website.
Exactly. Under the About section or slash the law. Either way, they can find that information. In the law, it talks about the excavator's responsibility. How much time should they give when making a locate request?
They should give at least 48 hours prior notice until November, when they will need to give 3 days worth, 3 days prior notification.
Right. And the difference is that third day is because it doesn't count. So if you call on a Monday, it's not counting the date of notification.
Right.
So think of it as 3 business days and you should be set in most cases. So that'll be the way to think about it a lot easier.
And that's not including weekends and holidays.
That is not including weekends or holidays, correct. It's 3 business days. Steven, when you're ready to begin work and you're looking at all the markings, can you explain to me where the facility should be found underground?
The facility should be found approximately 2 feet from the markings, or within 2 feet of the markings.
Exactly. There's going to be a center marking. The facility should be found within 2 feet either side of it, digging directly down. And if what happens if I can't discover any facilities within that 2 feet either side?
You should submit a second request.
Absolutely.
To have them come out again and relocate.
Exactly. If facilities can't be found through markings, or there hasn't been any markings put down, then definitely give OK811 another call so that we can put in a second notice. What are the 3 ways to put in a locate request?
You can call OK811 and talk to one of our great customer service representatives. You can go to OK811.org and click submit ticket. Or you can use the OK811 mobile app available for iOS or Android and use it to submit a ticket as well.
And finally, Stephen, what are some educational offerings that OK811 provides?
Well, to start, we have a schedule of webinars coming up. They cover a wide range of topics for both excavators and members. We have an online 811 excavation safety certification program. It's online learning. You can complete it at your own pace and start and stop as you need to. And when you're finished, you will be 811 certified. We also offer educational workshops. They can be either here at OK811 headquarters in our conference room, or we can go on-site at your designated location. If you'd like to submit a request for our educational workshop, just reach out to education@oke811.org and we'll help set that up for you.
Perfect. Well, Stephen, we did it. I enjoyed doing our first ever podcast.
Same.
Listeners, we ask for your feedback. If you have topics that you would like us to discuss, let us know. The email address is education@oke811.org. This is our first of hopefully many. We are going to be working on our scheduling and going from there. If you have ideas or suggestions for future podcast topics, please let us know. We appreciate your attentiveness today, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the day and dig safe.
We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for joining us.